This is a story from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Mahaprabhu eats the remnants of Jagannath and the Sringadev. And this is from Antya Leela, chapter 2. So after the devotees from Bengal had come to Jagannath Puri, their fashion was to stay 4 months in Jagannath Puri, associating with Gauranga Mahaprabhu, observing the various festivals of the Jagannath temple, like the Snan Yatra, then the Chandan Yatra, and the Rath Yatra, Dol Yatra, and the Nokabihar, the boating pastimes in Narendra Sarovara. Then after the conclusion of the 4 months Chaturmasya, then all the devotees returned to their homes in Bengal and also northern parts of India. So, when some devotees, after some time, towards the end of his leela, Lord Chaitanya, of course, he took sannyas when he was 24 years old, and for 6 years he toured all over India in a very massive preaching campaign. And 18 years he spent mostly in Jagannath Puri. And then, during those 18 years, the first 12 years, so 12 of those 18 years, he spent very tightly associating with his devotees from East Bengal and West Bengal for these 4 months. But then the last 6 years of his life, which is depicted in the Antya Leela, this is called his Gambhira Leela, very deep Leela, very confidential, private Leela, where he was mostly withdrawing. He's withdrawing from the public, withdrawing from the larger group of devotees and confining himself to associating with Ramananda Roy and Sri Damodara. No longer was he interested in engaging in 4-hour kirtan performances in the Jagannath Mandir. And he wasn't so much interested. So one day after the devotees had spent 4 months with him, then he told everyone, "Don't come back." He said, "Go back home to Bengal, don't come next year." Because he didn't really want to be bothered, not bothered, let's say, but he didn't really have the mood. He wasn't in the mood to associate in a more general way with a larger number of devotees. Tabe Prabhu Tanre Yagya Kaila Gore Jaite Bhaktagani Nisheda Nishedya Etake Yashite. When Srikant Sen was about to return to Bengal, Mahaprabhu told him, "Please tell all the devotees in Bengal not to come to Jagannath Puri this year." Evatsara, this is chapter 2 of Antya Leela. So this is where he starts beginning to get in this mood. "Forbid the devotees to come to Jagannath Puri this year." Then he says, "Evatsara tana ami jaimu apane tahai milimu sava advaitari sane." This year I shall personally go to Bengal and meet all the devotees there, headed by Dvaitacharya. So, instead of having the devotees come and stay for 4 months in Puri, which means 120 days, 4 times 30, he decided to gradually diminish their attachment. Something like breaking someone's addiction to something. You reduce their amount that they take. So instead of allowing them to come for 4 months, Lord Chaitanya would decide, I'll come and visit you for a few days, and then I'll return. So this is what he did, gradually decreasing their attachment. He says, "Shivanande kahiha ami eposhamas achambite avashya ami javitanrapash." Please tell Shivananda Sen that in December and January I shall certainly go to his house. Jagananda Hayatahan Teno Bhiksha Dibe Sabarai Kahia E Vatsara Kea Na Asibe. Jagananda is there, and he will give me offerings of food. Inform them all that no one should come to Jagannath Puri this year. Shrikanta Asiya Gode Sandesha Kahila Shuni Bhakta Ganamane Ananda Haila. When Srikant Sen returned to Bengal and he delivered the message, the devotees of the Lord were very pleased to hear it, because the Lord was actually coming to them. Chalite Chila Acharya Rahilas Tirahan Shivananda Jagananda Rai Pratyasha Kariya. Advaita Acharya was about to go to Jagannath Puri with the other devotees, but upon hearing this message, he waited. Shivananda Sen and Jagananda also stayed back, awaiting the arrival of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Poshama se aila dunhe samagri kariya sandhya payanta rahe apeksha kariya. When Poshamas arrived, which means December to January, Jagat Ananda and Shivananda collected all kinds of paraphernalia for receiving the Lord. Every day they would wait until evening for the Lord to come. Hey Mata Masagela Gosane Naila Jagananda Shivananda Tukita Haila. As the month passed, but Mahaprabhu did not come, Jagananda and Shivananda became most unhappy. Hachambite Nishingananda Tahani Aila Dunhe Tanre Militabi Stani Vasaila Dunhe Duki Dekitave Kahi Nishingananda Toma Duhun Dunha Karekene Deki Nirananda. Suddenly Nishingananda arrived, and Jagannanda and Shivananda arranged for him to sit near them. Seeing them both so unhappy, the Nishingananda inquired, why do I see that you are both despondent? Nirananda. Kene deki Nirananda. I see that you have no bliss. You are devoid of bliss. Tabe Shivananda Tanre Sakala Kahila Asiba Agyadila Prabhu Kene Na Aila. Shivananda Sen told them, Mahaprabhu promised that he would come. Why then has he not arrived? Shuni Brahmachari Kahi Karaha Santosh Amina Anibatanre Tritiya Divas. Hearing this, Nishingananda Brahmachari replied, please be satisfied. I assure you that I will bring Mahaprabhu here in 3 days from now. Tanhara Prabhava Prime Jane Dui Jan Anibe Prabhureyeve Nishchaya Koileman. Shivananda Sen and Jagannanda, they knew of Nishingananda's Brahmachari's influence and love of God, his Prabhav and Prem, Prem Prabhav. They understood. Therefore, they felt assured that Nishingananda would certainly bring Mahaprabhu. Pradyumna Brahmachari Tanra Nijanam Nishingananda Namatanra Koila Goradham. Nishingananda's real name was Pradyumna Brahmachari, but the name Nishingananda was given by Lord Gaurasundar himself. Dui Dina Dhyanakari Shivanandere Kahila Panihati Grameyami Prabhure Anila. After meditating for 2 days, the Nishingananda told Shivananda Sen, I have already brought Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the village of Panihati. Kali Madhyane Teno Asibena Tamara Gari Pakka Samagri Anaha Ami Bhiksha Dimo Tanri. Tomorrow, Mahaprabhu will come here at noon to your home. Therefore, please bring all kinds of cooking ingredients. I shall personally cook and offer food to him. Tabe tanrayetami aniva sattvar nishchay kahina lana kichu sandeha nakar. In this way, I shall bring him here very soon. Be assured that I am telling you the truth. Do not be doubtful. So they say that great devotees, they had this ability to see Trikalagya, to see past, present, and future. How they see? They can see in different ways. The Lord can actually, if they want to see what's going to happen to the future, they can simply ask, then the Lord can actually speak from within the heart. He can say, yes, this will happen. And then the person that has that reciprocation with the Lord, then he will say, yes, this will happen in the future. And then it happens. And sometimes usually it's like this, the super soul informs them, this is going to happen. And sometimes, even in their own dreams, sometimes such mystic people or seers of the advanced spiritual people, they can actually see in a dream the situation. We say premonition. Someone's having a premonition. But a materialistic person, a seer or soothsayer, he may have a premonition, it may be wrong. But when someone is a liberated soul and he sees something in his swapna or his dream, then that's actually reality. It's actually true. And then he can say yes, I saw on the screen of my mind. In the screen of my mind when I was dreaming, I saw this event. So-and-so came and did such and such. So Nisringananda had this type of prabhav. He had this type of influence that he was able to see the Lord. And of course, we've heard of him before because he made a road, a manasik path. He made a road in his meditation from Bengal to Kanai Natashala. Lord Chaitanya wanted to go to Vrindavan. And his meditation, he was doing manasi seva, making a very beautiful road for the Lord. Then when his manasi seva, which means that he was actually seeing the future in his mind. In his mind, he was seeing on the screen of his mind, he was seeing the future. And he was saying, yes, I'm building the road, and this beautiful jewel inlaid road, covered with flowers, lined with bakul trees and rivers and lakes and forests, and beautiful fruit trees. But my road, I can't extend my road any further than Kanai Natashala. So I conclude that although Lord Chaitanya says he's walking to Vrindavan, he'll only get as far as Kanai Natashala. He made this prediction. And lo and behold, when the Lord left Bengal, then he walked to Vrindavan, but he only got as far as Kanai Natashala, then he went back. So they know this person, he has the power. This Nisringananda Brahmachari, Pradyumna Brahmachari. So when he's telling, yes, I'm seeing the Lord, he's in Panihati, and tomorrow he will come. It's like these mystic people, and they look in a crystal ball. They have these crystal balls and they look inside and sometimes they can see things, at least they say so. But this is actually really happening. He said, in this way I shall bring him here very soon. Be assured that I am telling the truth. Do not be doubtful. So Shivananda is saying, although he's an eternal associate of the Lord, Jagananda, Shivananda, they didn't exhibit this power. I'm sure they had this power, but Nisringananda, he was exhibiting this power. He chahiye tahar kara hanatat par atitvaraya kariba paka shunaha atapar. Actually, I skipped a verse here. He said, tomorrow at noon, Mahabhu will come to your house. Please bring all kinds of cooking ingredients. Paka samagri anaha. I shall personally cook and offer food to him. Be assured I'm telling the truth. Do not be doubtful. Please bring all the ingredients very soon, for I want to begin cooking immediately. Please do what I say. Paka samagri anaha ame yaha chai ye magilas Shivananda ani dilatai. The Sringananda Brahmachari told Shivananda, please bring whatever cooking ingredients I want. Thus Shivananda Sain immediately brought whatever he asked for. Pratakala haite paka karila apar nana vyanjana pita kira nana upahar. Beginning at 6 o'clock in the morning, the Sringananda Brahmachari cooked many varieties of food, including vegetables, cakes, sweet rice, and other preparations. Jagannathera bina boga pritak badila chaitanya prabhura lagi anaboga kaila. After Nisringananda finished cooking, he brought separate dishes for Jagannath and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Ishtadeva Nisringa lagi pritak badila tina jane samarpia bahire dhyana kaila. He also separately offered dishes to Lord Nisringadeva, his worshipable deity. Thus he divided all the food into three offerings. Then outside the temple, outside the deity room, he began to meditate upon the Lord. Deki Shigra Sivasila Chaitanya Gosai Tina Bogo Kaila Kichu Avashishta Noi. In his meditation, he saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quickly come, sit down and eat all three offerings, leaving behind no remnants. So what three offerings did Lord Chaitanya eat? Ms. Shringadev? I just want to see if anybody's listening. Yes. He ate Jagannath's offering, the Shringadev's offering, and his own. That's what we read. So sometimes it's nice to see if anybody's listening. Anyways, that's one thing devotees have perfected. They've perfected the art of sleeping with your eyes open. It's a very, very rare art. How to sleep with your eyes open. Totally asleep. You know, totally oblivious to what has ever been heard or said. And what did I say? I don't know. It's tough having class after lunch. Our eyes are, our stomach eyes are open, but our other eyes are closed. So anyway, his Ishtadev was Nisringadev, and he was inviting Lord Chaitanya to lunch, so he had a plate for Nisringadev, and he also had one for Jagannath. Apparently there was some Jagannath deity there. So what happened is that Lord Chaitanya sat down in his meditation. He ate all the offerings. He devoured Jagannath's offering and devoured the Shringadev's offering and his own. There was no remnants, no avashishta. Avashishta means the bhog, prasad, no mercy. Prasad means mercy. So we say he's doyamoy. Lord Chaitanya is merciful, but in this case he's nirdoy. There's no mercy. He left no remnants. Anande vivala pradumna parayashudar kaha kiva karabali kare futkar. Seeing all this, Pradyumna Mishra was overwhelmed by transcendental ecstasy, seeing Mahaprabhu eating everything. Tears flowed from his eyes, premashudara. Nevertheless, he expressed his dismay or unhappiness by saying, "Alas, alas, my dear Lord, what are you doing? You're eating everyone's food." Because remember, what's the title of this story? Mahaprabhu eats the food of Jagannath and Nisringadev. So we might think, well, what's wrong with that? So what? We hear the title, we think, well, so big deal. I mean, when I heard the title, that's what I thought. Well, big deal. Mahaprabhu eats the food of Jagannath and Nisringadev. What's all the commotion about? Well, you have to tell a whole story about that. But here's the story. "What are you doing, my lord? You're eating everyone's food." "Jagannatha tumayakya kao tanra bhoga nishringara bhoga kene kara upayoga." "My dear lord," said Pradyumna Brahmachari, "you are one with Jagannath. Therefore, I have no objection to your eating his offering. But why are you touching food? Why are you touching the offering for Lord Nisringadev?" "Nisringara hoila jani aji upavas takura upavasarai jie kaichedas." "I think that Nisringadev could not eat anything today, and therefore he is fasting, upavas. If the master fasts, how can a servant live?" Bojandeki yadyapi tanra ridai ulas nishringa lakshya kari bahi kichu kari dukavhas. "Although Nisringa Brahmachari felt jubilation within his heart to see Mahaprabhu eating everything, for the sake of his Nisringadev deity, he externally expressed disappointment." So he was saying that, okay, Lord Chaitanya, you ate your offering, that's to be expected. And you ate Jagannath's offering, well, that's all right too, because you're one with Jagannath. But Nisringadev, that's my deity. And you ate all his offering, and then usually I eat the remnants of my deity, and it's a little problematic for me because you didn't leave anything. You wiped out Nisringadeva's offering. That means you wiped out my prasad. So doesn't look very auspicious for me. Although, of course, I'm in jubilation. I'm very happy about all this, but at the same time, I have a slight complaint here. Swayam Bhagavan Krishna Chaitanya Gosai Jagannatha Nisringasaha Kichu Bheda Nai. Krishna's Kaviraj says, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, there is no difference. Kichu Bheda Nai. There is no difference between Mahaprabhu, Jagannath, and Lord Nisringadev. Iha Jani Bhare Pradyum Nera Gura Haitanman Tahadu Kaila Prabhu Kariira Bojan. Pradyumna Brahmachari, or Nisringananda Brahmachari, was deeply eager to understand this fact. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed it to him in a practical demonstration. Very practical. In other words, apparently, Nisringananda or Pradyumna wasn't so clear on this tattva. Wasn't clear on the oneness of tattva. That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was, all the avatars were within Lord Chaitanya, even the Das avatars. Or maybe Swayam Bhagavan. So Jagannath is Brajendra Nandan Krishna. And he's Radha and Krishna combined. Alright. But Nisringadev? He's also Nisringadev? That I have some confusion about. I'm not clear on that. So then Lord Chaitanya, to clarify his doubt, he gave a practical demonstration. See, I'm eating everyone's offerings. So he was eager to understand this fact, and now he understand it. Understood it. Bojana Kariya Prabhu Gela Pani Hati Santosha Poila Deki Byanjana Pari Pati. After eating all the offerings, Mahaprabhu started for Panihati. There, he was greatly satisfied to see the different varieties of vegetables prepared in the house of Raghava Pandit. Shivananda kahi kene karaha futkara tenha kahi dekatomar prabhura vyavahar. Shivananda said to Nisringananda, "Oh, why are you expressing dismay? You seem to be unhappy." Nisringananda replied, "Just see the behavior of your Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Tina janara bhoga teno ekala koila jagannatha nisringa upavasihaila." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has eaten the offerings for all three deities. Because of this, both Jagannath and the Nisringadev remain fasting. What to speak of me? That's not said, but that's understood. Because that verse is already given there. We already read that verse. Because that's what he himself said. If the master fasts, how can the servant live? That verse was spoken by Nisringananda after he saw this fact of Lord Chaitanya eating all the offerings. Lord Chaitanya's eaten his offering, and Nisringadev's offering, and Jagannath's offering. Then what did he say? Oh, I think Nisringadev couldn't eat anything today, and therefore he's fasting. And if the master fasts, how can the servant live? So who's the master? Nisringadev. Who's the servant? Nisringananda. Charity begins at home. So he's saying that Mahaprabhu, you're Mahaprabhu. Not mine, yours. You're Mahaprabhu. Just see the behavior of your Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Deka Tomar. Tomar Prabhu. Tomara. Tomara Prabhu Vyavahara. Vyayahara. Just see the behavior of your Prabhu, Tamar Prabhu, not my Prabhu, your Prabhu. Shuni Shivananda Chitte Haila Shamshai Kiba Prema Veshekai Kiba Satyahai. When Shivananda Sain heard this statement of Nisringananda, he was unsure whether Nisringananda Brahmachari was speaking that way because of ecstatic love or because it was actually a fact. In other words, are you speaking the truth or are you drunk? Are you intoxicated or is this a fact or you're simply speaking something out of ecstasy that you would like to happen or like to see happen? Tabe Shiva Anande Kichu Kahe Brahmachari Samagri Ananashinga Lagipuna Pakakari. When Shivananda Sen was thus perplexed, the Sringananda Brahmachari said to him, "Bring more food. Let me cook again for Lord Nrisimhadev." So now Nrisimhananda is going to try again, and this time he's not going to cook for Lord Chaitanya. Specifically, he's going to cook for Lord Nrisimhadev because he feels that he didn't get anything to eat. Jagannath ate, okay, fine. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ate, okay, fine. They ate and left nothing, fine. But my Ishtadev, he didn't get anything because Chaitanya ate everything. And I'm his servant and I didn't get anything. So I'm upset and my Lord is upset, so let me cook again. Varshantare Shivananda Lana Bhaktagan Nila Chale Deke Jana Prabhu Racharan. The next year, Shivananda went to Jagannath Puri with all the other devotees to see the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's very interesting. The message Lord Chaitanya sent at the beginning of the story was, tell all the devotees not to come. Because this is what happened. Lord Chaitanya kept telling them not to come. And they would come. And finally, Nityananda, he told him, you stay there and preach in Bengal. And he did. But even he said, don't come, I'll come visit you. Don't call me, we'll call you. And still, and he went to visit them at Waita's house in Shantipur. And then still they came that year. Because their love was so great, they couldn't repress their love. Ek dina sabate prabhu vata chalaila nrisimhanandera guna kaite lagila. One day, when he was sitting with all the devotees, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started speaking about these topics concerning the Sringananda Brahmachari, and he praised his transcendental qualities. Gatta barsha poshe more karaila bojan kabo nahe kai kai ache mishtana vyanjan. Mahaprabhu said, last year in the month of December and January, when the Sringananda offered me varieties of sweetmeats and vegetables to eat, they were so good that I felt that I had never eaten before such preparations. Shuni bhakta ganamani ashcharya manila shivanandera mane tave pratyaya janmila. Hearing this, all the devotees became struck with wonder, ashcharya, and Shivananda became confident that the incident was true. So this is the end of the pastime. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu eats the offerings of Jagannath and Nrisimhadev, and this is all being seen in the meditation of Nrisimhananda. He was seeing that Lord Chaitanya is coming to Panihati, so he ordered Shivananda to collect all the ingredients. I have to cook for him. And he cooked for him and offered to Lord Chaitanya, and he offered to his personal deity, Nrisimhadev. And he also offered to Jagannath. And then he saw in his meditation, because when one is doing puja, the pujari, he does manasi seva. Before he does everything externally, then he does manasi seva. Yes, I'm inviting the Lord to come and sit down and eat all these wonderful offerings that I've made. And so many offerings may be there externally, which he offers in his meditation first. Then he offers so many more items in his meditation which are not externally presented. So he's sitting in his meditation offering this bhog offering which he had prepared. Then he sees, while he's meditating, oh, the Lord is eating. And he's eaten everything. And then when he opens his eyes and he sees that everything is gone, he says, oh, I'm seeing in my meditation that he's eating. Oh, that's nice, it's my meditation. I open my eyes and see there's nothing. And I can't believe, I have some doubt. Is this really happening? Or what's going on? Did the Lord really come and do this, or did some rats come in and eat all the offerings while I was closing my eyes, or what happened? So a year later, this following year, when he went to Jagannath Puri and he met the Lord, then the Lord started saying, yes, last year I went, and in his meditation he offered me so many things, and I ate everything. So then this way, the Sringananda understood, yes, what I saw in my meditation, it was real. It was not some dream, it was not some swapna, it was real. So it's a fact, when great devotees, advanced devotees see dreams, they have dreams of the Lord, or meditate and see the Lord in meditation, spurti, it is real, it's really happening. And they feel completely that they're seeing the Lord, and completely that they're serving the Lord, hand to hand, mouth to mouth. And when that spurti breaks, when they no longer see that vision of the Lord, and they leave that vision, or that vision leaves them, whatever, and they come to external consciousness, and they say, oh, I was with my Lord, I was brushing Radharani's hair, I was offering her tambul, some pan, and it was so wonderful. I was holding Radharani's feet in my hands. Rupa Goswami gave me a chance to massage Radharani's feet. I was holding her delicate feet in my hands. I could feel, perceive how soft they are and how gentle. Now it's squeezing her feet, rubbing her feet very nicely. And then all of a sudden that meditation broke. And now I'm lamenting. Oh, such fortune I had. And I'm offering this lamentation like a bouquet of flowers. My lamentation is coming out in different verses, different shlokas, like a flower vase with different flowers. Vilap kusamanjali. This is the bouquet of lamentation. And the Sringananda Brahmachari was called Pradyumna, also called Pradyumna Brahmachari. He is showing this principle of devotion called Manasi Seva. How the Lord, we offer something externally with our senses, our body and our senses. We cook and we offer, and then the Lord accepts our devotional service by the mercy of the Guru. But we can also offer service within our mind, within our minds. That's called Manasi Seva. And the Lord accepts this service equally. It's not that, oh, if I serve externally, it's more beneficial or more appreciated by the Lord than if I offer something within my mind. So the mind is also a material instrument. The senses, the body, are material instruments to be engaged in Lord's service. But the mind is also a material instrument. It requires to become purified. And it can best be purified by being engaged in Krishna's service. Always thinking of Krishna, always endeavoring and planning how to please Krishna, and rendering specific service within the mind. Oftentimes people complain, oh, I can't do this service, I can't do that service. I'm not eligible for this or that. Sometimes we're sick, or our body doesn't work, or we have women's problems, or this or that. We say, oh, I'm so unfortunate. If I was a brahmachari, I could do puja, I could offer artik in the Krishna Balaram temple, but they don't allow any women on the altar here in Vrindavan. But in the Western countries, women do the artik and dressing, they do everything. I'm so unfortunate, I'm in Vrindavan. People say like this sometimes. And then we say, oh, you don't have any mind? Are you that unfortunate? You have no mind? You have no thinking power? No power of thinking or feeling or willing. And we ask, do you have a mind? Oh, yes, I have a mind. Acha. Is your mind masculine or feminine? Is your mind a man or a woman? Your mind has a gender? Your mind is full of desires. Icha. Thinking, feeling, and willing. So that's within your purview. That's within your right to turn your mind towards the Lord. To fix your mind on the Lord, to offer your mind to the Lord, to place the Lord in your mind. And that's one of the eight kinds of murtis also. It's called Manasa Murti. There's Ashtadhatu Murti, there's Daro Brahman, Daro Brahman Murti, Ashtadhatu Murti, Ratna Murti, Loha, Loha Murti, then Svona Murti. There's murtis made, you can have a deity made from wood, you can have a deity made from eight elements, Ashtadhatu, eight elements. You can have a deity made from gold. You can have a deity made from stone, Shilamurti. And that you can have a deity made from the mind, Manasamurti. The Ishtadeva in the mind, the mental murti. Of course, now we also have a mental murti. Our mind is also our deity. Our mind is dictating so many things. But we can actually place the Lord in our mind. We can fix our Ishtadeva. Like we might say, for example, I'm very attracted to the form of Gopal Nathji. Gopal Nathji was discovered by Madhavendra Puri in Aniyur, or near Aniyur, in the Gopal Prakatstali, on the edge of the town of Aniyur, just beside Govardhan Hill. It's called Gopal Prakatstali. Then he was installed with a very elaborate Anukut ceremony on top of Govardhan Hill. And he was worshipped there, and finally by Brijbasi Brahmins from Mathura. And finally, the puja came into the descendants of Vallabhacharya, Gokulnath and Vitalnath. And they brought the deity of Nachi to Rajasthan and established a village called Sri Natwara. So one may see this deity and hear the name and fame of this deity and become captivated by the beauty of this deity, Srinathji, and desire to render service there. But then he thinks, well, I'm not a Gujarati Brahmin. I'm not coming in the parivar of Vallabhacharya. So access denied. No access. I can't render service. Of course, you can carry firewood. You can go there in the morning and carry firewood from where the bullock cart unloads the firewood. You can pick it up and carry it into the deity kitchen. And you can break the string beans into pieces. You can sit in a circle and break the string beans into pieces for the morning sabji. And you can make flower garlands. There's many things you can do. You see when you go there, so many yatris are doing seva, Thakurji seva. But even you can dress the deity and bathe the deity and do arti, you can all the wonderful services that the intimate pujaris or pandas do. In your mind. You simply place Nachi in your mind, his beautiful form, then you serve him to your heart's content. 30 days a month. No break, no contamination period. Nothing. The mind is not affected by the movements of the body. Prabhupada often said that bhakti cannot be stopped. Bhakti is transcendental. Bhakti can be performed anywhere in any circumstance. There's nothing can stop the flow of bhakti but our desire. We desire to serve the Lord, then do it. Who's stopping you? Sometimes people say, oh, my husband won't let me go to Rath Yatra, this, that, the other thing. Well, really, he put a padlock on your mind? He put a padlock on your mind? He locked your mind up with a lock and key? No, but he wouldn't buy me a ticket. I couldn't go there. I wanted to go to Jagannath Puri. I can't go. I'm so much lamentation, so unhappy. Wham, 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 wham. Just sit down. Tell your husband, oh, I don't feel good. I have to lie down. I go to the bedroom. Okay, you go to the bedroom. So you go in the bedroom, you lie down, and you think, oh, there's Jagannath, there's chariots there, and I'm a pandit. Now I'm a pandit, and my service is to carry Jagannath and help him go up the ramp, and he's so chatur and playful. He's going this way and that way. Now he's leaning over on me, and I can barely hold him up. And with all my strength, I'm pushing, and then another panda comes and sets him straight. Then we bring him up the ramp. And then that chief panda, he asked me to offer the first arti to Jagannath before the rath starts. And you have such a wonderful rath yatra in your mind. Because when you go to Rath Yatra, if you actually go there and attend the Rath Yatra, you probably don't do any service to Jagannath. You just look at this guy and look at that guy and see this thing and that thing and videshis and deshis and men and women and clowns and jugglers and all kinds of fanfare going on there. And cranes and televisions and helicopters and flowers falling out of helicopters and policemen and black cats and Bobby, big sticks and handcuffs and elephants and all kinds of things you see in the panorama of what you see there in Puri, the Rath Yatra. You see lakhs of people hanging off rooftops and all over the place and saying, Mahima, they're saying, Jagannath Swami Ki, Jagannath Swami Ki, Jagannath Swami Ki. But do you actually render any service there? You go as a tourist. You enjoy the sights. Snap a few pictures. Take a few movies. Maybe you say Jai Jagannath a few times. Jai Jagannath. So this is a situation that oftentimes if we actually sit down mentally and try to render service, we become much deeper, much more absorbed, much more connected. Much more absorbed, much more connected, and much more fulfilled than if we were to externally do something. And if you ever practice, if you ever actually engage in a practice of Manasi Seva, then you understand how much absorbing it is. You can't space out because oftentimes the senses are moving. Hands are moving, senses are moving, but the mind is somewhere else. But when you have to put your mind, when your mind is used to serve, then your senses become inert. Your senses don't move. Because the senses don't move unless they get impulse from the mind. But oftentimes we do service, the senses are moving due to mental impulses, but the mind itself, the majority of the mind is elsewhere. It's a definite fact that if you've done something you've done before, we can do it. They say, oh, he can do that blindly. Like if you cook many offerings for the deity, every day you go in and cook the offering, every day you can, like even they have phrases, oh, I can do this blindfolded. Blindfolded means no mind, very less mind. You can go, okay, make the dal, make the shvaj, like in a mechanical blind way. Not much heart there. But if you have to sit down and chant japa and want to make an offering in the mind, it's so much intense, so much absorption. And that's what purifies us. What purifies us is not actually action, but absorption. How much the mind is absorbed in Krishna. That's how we become purified. Senses running here and there everywhere. But it's the mind. The mind is a pivot point. The mind is a pivot point of liberation and bondage. So the senses may go their way, but the mind goes in an independent direction. With so much, all yoga is all about the mind. Even bhakti yoga is all about the mind. But sometimes people misconstrue. They think bhakti yoga is a facility where you can just play around with the external senses and don't have to pay attention to the mind. There is no yoga system that doesn't concentrate on purification, application, and absorption of the mind. Chanchala Himanakrish. Krishna, so many verses in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks about the mind. The mind must be controlled. Withdraw the mind. Fix the mind on me. Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mama nushmar yujacha. Engage in work, but remember me. But generally, we just work. We just work. We move our bodies. We move our senses. But the mind is flying in its own orbit. The mind is the master. Through the mind, we become liberated. Through the mind, we realize Krishna. Through the mind, we see Krishna. We don't see Krishna with our eyes. We don't see Krishna with our hands. And Krishna is always telling everywhere in Gita, Man Mana Bhava Mad Bhakta, always think of me, think of me, think of me. Yoga means this. Yoga means to apply your mind to the object, desired object. Fix the desired object in the mind. Samadhi. Samadhi. Krishna Samadhi, Bhakti Samadhi. So Bhakti Samadhi means that the Ishtadev, the Lord, is always sitting in the mind, firstly in the mind, and then all the other activities are going. But oftentimes we find that all the other activities are going, hands, legs, everything moving, but the Lord is not in the mind. And this point is proven in 9th canto of Bhagavatam. This is a very, very important verse where Amrish Maharaj is described. How did he do all his activities? He was very active. All of his hands and legs, head, feet, everything was engaged. But what was the first thing he engaged? First he engaged his hands, And then his mouth? No. What's the first thing engaged? First he engaged his mind. He fixed the feet of Krishna in his mind. Rup Dhyan. Savai Mana Krishna Padara Vindayor Vachamsi Vaikuntha Gunana Varane. First his mind was fixed on Krishna's feet. Rup Dhyan. First his mind was fixed on the form of Krishna was in his mind. Savai Mana Krishna Padara Vindayor. Krishna's feet were fixed in my mind. And once his form, Rupam, was fixed in my mind, then I could glorify his guna. Because there's no question of guna without vastu. Something that has no form has no qualities. If it's nirakara, it's nirgun. There's no form, the formless absolute. There's no form, there's no qualities. But Krishna has a form, transcendental form, and he has transcendental qualities. So, Nam Rup Gun Lila. So he fixed the form of Vaikunthanath in his mind. Savai Mana Krishna Padara Vindayor. Then Vachamsi, Vacha. Sri Bhagavana Vacha, Arjuna Vacha. Vachamsi Vaikuntha Gunar Navaranane. First Rupam, form, and then Gunam. Vaikuntha, Guna Varanane. Then he started glorifying with his tongue. Once the mind was fixed on the form, then the senses start moving. So the principle Amrish is showing, yes, you're a bhakta. First thing is manasi seva. First mind, capture the form of the Lord in the mind. Fix the form of the Lord in the mind. Then the next thing, is it hands? Is it legs? Is it stomach? No, mouth. Speak about the Lord. That Lord that you're seeing in the mind, that Lord that you're worshipping in the mind, that Lord that's fixed and absorbed in your mind, then you speak about Him. What do you see? What are His qualities? What are you perceiving of His qualities? Vaikuntha Guna. Vaikunthanath Guna. What are the qualities of Vaikunthanath? Tell us about that. And then, while your mind is fixed on the form of the Lord, Rupam, and then Gunam, and then you engage the rest of your senses. This verse is there, ninth canto of Bhagavatam. So this is a nice story of Nisringananda's experience with his Manasi Seva, and Lord coming and teaching him. He learned something in his mind, in his mind, he's meditating, he saw the Lord come and eat all the offerings. And then the Lord taught him something also. So this is another principle. He learned about that the identity of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that he includes all the he's the Sarva Avatari. He's not only Swayam Bhagavan, Krishna, and Jagannath, but he's also the Sarva Avatari. Even the Das Avatars are coming from Lord Chaitanya. They're within Lord Chaitanya. So another thing in our mind, in our meditation, when we're deeply meditating on the Lord may reveal, may answer questions. He may give tattva. We have some question. Like sometimes we heard, even one devotee, he got initiated. Sometimes mantras come into mind. So I thought, it's amazing how Krishna teaches us and reveals things to us according to our necessity. There is no limitation in the field of transcendence. You cannot limit the flow of the Swarup Shakti of the Lord. The Swarup Shakti of the Lord is beyond time and space. Swarup Shakti of the Lord is not limited by any place or any time or any space. So Guru Tattva, Guru is Swarup Shakti. Guru is representing Samvit Shakti and Ladini Shakti. Bhakti. Bhakti Latta Bij. Brahmanda Brahmate Kaun Bhagyavana Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Bhai Bhakti Latta Bij. So bhakti means the transcendental potency of the Lord. Bhakti is a fusion. Is a fusion of Samvit Shakti and Ladini Shakti. This is the Swarup Shakti of the Lord. So Guru is carrying the Swarup Shakti. He's situated in Swarup Shakti. He's representing Swarup Shakti. What is the praman for that? Praman for that is Uddhava Gita, 11th canto of Bhagavatam, where Krishna is saying, Acharya mam vijaniyam, nama manyate karichit. You should understand the Acharya is me. Krishna is saying, Acharya mam, I am the Acharya. So is Krishna Swarup Shakti? Yes, Krishna is Swarup Shakti. Swarup means the Shakti of my own form. My own form is made up. Prasya Shakti Vavadaya Shriyate Subhavaki Ganabalakriyacha. My own form is made of unlimited Shaktis. There's no difference between my form and my Shaktis. So this is the transcendental truth. The Guru is beyond all our limitations. We try to limit Guru. We try to confine Guru. We try to limit Guru. We try to circumscribe Guru. And that is our offense. That is our ignorance. So we have to be very careful in this regard. So Nrisinghananda is such a great devotee. So he's inspiring us to turn on our minds, tune in the form of Krishna and the holy Dhamma of Krishna, and drop into his service, which can be done anywhere, any place, by anyone. And it's actually a great joy. One who experiences the pleasure of Manasi Seva, he can never give it up. It's actually very much relishable. It's a whole new frontier. Oftentimes the scientists, they have discussions like this. Consciousness, the new frontier. They have these books like this. The new frontier, consciousness. And they try to discover new fields and new areas, searching for oil in Siberia. And they discover oil off the coast of Peru or something. And they have like these things, new frontiers, frontiers of consciousness. But there's discovering the whole unlimited facility right inside our head of the mind. It's quite an amazing discovery. Oh, I have a mind. Oh, yeah, I thought I did. And in this mind is a whole unlimited field of service here. Now, I never knew about it before. No one ever told me. No one ever pointed me in that direction. No one ever inspired me in this way. I didn't know that there's a whole new dimension to Krishna Bhakti. A whole new aspect. And there's numerous quotations in Prabhupada's books about this concept. How Krishna accepts equally any service rendered, whether rendered with the mind or with the senses and body. So we read that, we've read it, we've seen it, it's bounced off our eyes. It never creates deep enough impression. Well, wait a minute, what is this saying here? What does this mean? I spent 20 years of my life just moving my senses and thinking that that's the whole gamut of bhakti. Now I find out there's something called Manodharma. Manodharma means religion of the mind, mental religion. And this whole aspect of Raghunuga Sadhana Bhakti, primarily it centers around Manodharma. You actually don't do anything externally, you just sit down. You look like you're sleeping, which sounds attractive. You just sit in one place, in front of Tulsi or in front of Giridhari, or your Radha and Krishna, and you just do so much service with your mind. Lazy man's way to perfection. It's not so lazy, it's not so easy. The mind is like a monkey, or like 20 monkeys, let's say. Mind is like a whole barrel of monkeys. When you start trying to tame the monkey, when you try to tame the monkey of the mind, you find out, oh, there's so many monkeys jumping there. And down, monkey, let's get down here, I want to think about Krishna here. And it's very funny, you sit down to Manasi Seva or Smaran or meditation, and you may capture the form of Krishna, or even some setting, or even some different personalities in the Leela, and then everything's fine. All of a sudden, doing! You go, hey, where am I? I'm in Manhattan. I'm in Times Square. What happened? It's like, I have to reboot the computer. I have to reboot. I lost my window. There was a power surge, my computer went out. This mental computer is really chanchal. Try it and you'll find out. But this is the ultimate perfection of yoga, is to fix the mind on Krishna. And it's not that we try to perfect this at the time of death. Well, I'll do that at the last moment. Now I'm busy. Because then it's very difficult, practically impossible. But if one is practiced in this art of mind control, the deprogrammers, they love this term. Mind control. They'd be controlling their minds, brainwashing them. They Hare Krishnas be brainwashed. Mind control. Yeah, that's what people need. The whole world is full of animals with uncontrolled minds. As Prabhupada would say, polished animals. All the people are, they're polished animals. The dog is running on four legs and the man is running on four wheels. Running is the same. Ahara nidra maitun bayam. Dog is running on four legs for eating, sleeping, mating, defending. And the polished animal man is running on four wheels for eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Hare Krishna. So this is the story of Nrisinghananda, Brahmachari, and Mahaprabhu eats the offerings of Jagannath and Nrisinghananda. Nrisinghadev, and also Nrisinghananda. Because he didn't get anything either. But he got a nice dream, he got a nice message from Lord Chaitanya, and revelation that his meditation was real, and the Lord really, really, really ate his offerings. And that will happen also. When one engages in the service of the Lord, he will get reciprocation from the Lord when he engages in Manasi Seva. As the Nrisinghananda was serving with his mind, and then he came to realize later, when he wasn't in his mind, he was in his senses, and he went to Puri, and he met Lord Chaitanya, Sakshat Darshan. He was seeing directly, associating with Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya started speaking, "Yes, this Nrisinghananda, he was offering to me, and I ate all the offerings." And Nrisinghananda said, "Oh, it wasn't a dream. It wasn't imagination. It's really true. What I meditated on was really true. The Lord really did accept my offering, and he really did eat Jagannath's offerings, and he really ate my deity Nrisingha's offerings, and also his offerings. It's really true. It wasn't just my Manasi Seva." So that's a fact. As is happening with the Nrisinghananda Brahmachari, Pradyumna Brahmachari, this point is also being illustrated by the story. Yes, it's really a fact. Krishna, Radharani, they accept your offering, your service in the mind. They really come and accept the garland that you make in your mind. And they really come and accept your painting of Alta, red lac dye on Radharani's feet. It's really happening. And she's really really accepting it. And someday she'll come and she'll put her footprints on your head. She'll put her red footprints, the wet lac from her feet will be kicked on your forehead. And when you wake up out of your meditation or come out of your spurti to baya dasha, to external consciousness, when you leave that internal meditation, you'll look in the mirror. My God! What is this? This is Radharani's footprints on my forehead. Because in the biography of Srinivasacharya, we see this. And also Siddha Krishnadasa and numerous devotees, they're engaged in Manasi Seva. When they come out of their Manasi Seva, they have colors all sprinkled on their dhoti. Because they're meditating on Aprakat Dham, Aprakat Leela, the invisible pastimes of the Lord. They're meditating on those pastimes, rendering service there, filling the pitchkaris for Radharani, filling the syringes for Radharani to squirt colors on Krishna, and their meditation, and their siddha deha, and their antas chinta deha, their internally conceived spiritual body. And then they're meditating, "Yes, I'm filling these pitchkaris, I'm giving the Radharani, she's squirting them at Krishna, ha, Krishna, you got so many colors on you, ha." And then and somebody calls him, "Hey, Baba, lunchtime, prasadam." He comes out of meditation. "Oh, okay." He looks, "Whoa, look at all these red colors, blue colors. Oh, I better take this off and hide it. How has this happened? I was there in the spiritual world, in my siddhadeya. Now, even I'm coming back to this sadaka rup, sadaka deya, my practitioner's body, and I have some colors on me. How has this happened? This is phenomenon. This is a magic. This is a mystery. But this has happened. Even 50 years ago, 20 years ago, 100 years ago. Such things happen." So all this shows that, yes, it's real. Manasi Seva is real. And yes, Krishna really accepts your offering. And Radharani really accepts your offering. And someday, they will make you understand. Yes, it's true. It's real. It's just as real as whatever everything you're doing outside to the Archamurti or to the Shalagram. It's also real. It's all functioning under the dynamism. It's all functioning under the dynamism of Sarup Shakti, Bhakti Shakti, which is totally transcendental, whether it's externally rendered or whether internally rendered. Well, tomorrow's story, by the mercy of the Lord, we can speak something. We'll discuss the story of Raghupati Upadhyaya pleases Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. From Madhya Leela. So how he does that, what he does to please Lord Chaitanya, and who is Raghupati Upadhyaya, that we'll find out tomorrow.